record button, all my classes get recorded. So this is a notice to you that you are being recorded. And if the classes will be put up on the web. So the recording goes up on the web where you can access it, and we'll talk more about that later. But the classes are recorded, and they are available for you to hear a second time if you want to. My website is www.pgrosser.net, okay? I do not use Blackboard or whatever it is now. I predated it. And so I just use my own website, which is pgrosser.net. Okay? So, once you go to pgrosser.net, you can then click on the course. Okay? So, this is CIS 120. So, once you go to pgrosser.net, you can click on CIS 120. I am struggling to make the newest version of SmartBoard work. It was a much nicer version before they changed it. So there'll be a bunch of clicking up here that shouldn't have to happen. Okay, so this is CIS 120. And I put the slash 17 because it used to be CIS 17, and some of the handouts and things on things that haven't changed will still stay CIS 17, and I'm too lazy to change it. Okay, so therefore, I put the 120.17 so you'll know that the course used to be CIS 17. Okay. The information about the course, there's introductory and README information, and there's syllabus information. There's also a new policy that has come up this semester, which is withdrawals. Faculty is no longer allowed to withdraw students. Students have to take the responsibility of doing it themselves. So what that means to you is at the end of the semester, people that were not going to pass the course, I traditionally sent a note to saying, would you rather be withdrawn or do you want an F? And let them choose which they wanted. I can't do that anymore. If you haven't got the work done and you don't have the points to get a grade, you're going to get an F. Now, you can withdraw up until the 10th week of classes. So if week 10 comes along, or week 9 comes along, because it's until the 10th week, if week 9 comes along and you are working on week 3 and it's not looking promising, then it's your responsibility to withdraw from the class if you think that is the best approach. Okay? But I can no longer do withdrawals. The responsibility is with you. Okay? So, I put that out here to make sure people read it and know about it. Other things that are here is there are notes and handouts, examples, all the kinds of information that you'll find helpful. Now, I will tell you what information you should be looking at. Okay, so I have, for example, this week we're going to start looking at HTML5. And I have listed all of the things that I want you to look at. They're also over here under examples, but I've put them out there for you to look at. So if you go to examples, you'll see the same things there, but you'll also see examples of a load of other things that we'll be covering later. So I will put up the pages that you need to go over. These are the notes, okay? We do not have a required textbook this semester. Mainly because nobody was reading it anyway. Okay, so we're going to do without the required textbook. And what I'm going to do is put up YouTube things that you should look at, and notes that you should look at, and things like that to replace the text. Okay? If you like having a text, then you can go to the syllabus, and there is, all right, where is it? An optional text, and you're welcome to buy it if you would like to have a text. Okay, that's the text that I've used previously, but it's expensive, and we're trying to get away from using expensive texts and trying to get the so many resources out on the web that it's doable without having textbooks. So, if you prefer having a textbook, you're more than welcome to get one, but it is not a required text. Okay? So, in this week of, okay, week one, I'm putting the things that I want you to do on week one. And when it comes to week two, I will put the same things up. I do not take down week one. So by the end of the semester, all 15 weeks are up there. So I'm putting up the things that I would like you to do during week one. Homework is due the Thursday after the week it is assigned. So any assignment that happens this week is due next Thursday. It is due the Thursday after the week it is assigned. Okay? So, I frequently put up homework assignments at the beginning of the week. Other times, I put them up as the week goes along. So you should always check back multiple times. Okay? But anything that I put up this week in assignments is due next Thursday. Down at the bottom of the week of, I have the assignments. Okay? So all assignments should be sent to me at my web address, which is p.grosser@rcn.com. Okay? It should not be sent to bristol.mass.edu or whatever. bristolcc.edu. It should not be sent there. I get too much junk there, and it's hard to keep track of everything. So this particular site, p.grosser@rcn.com, is set up entirely for student information, for you to send me work, ask me questions, that kind of thing. And hopefully we will figure out how SmartBoard is going to work. So, assignments are due the Thursday of the week after they are assigned, so assignments of this week are due next Thursday, which is September 14th. Okay? There's also an assignment summary over here. If you want just a list of assignments, not mixed into the week of, you can go there. The assignment for this week is to do the survey, and you need to send me an email letting me know you've taken it. And we are going to be starting HTML, so your assignment for this week is to do an HTML page. But we will start that today, and we'll do more HTML on Thursday. So, in fact, unless you know HTML, I'd wait till Thursday to do that assignment, because we will be finishing up the material that you need to do the assignment this Thursday. And then it's due the following Thursday. Okay. So every week the assignments will go up here. Sometime during the course of the week I will put them up, and they are due the following Thursday. Questions? Okay. I am taking pictures of the screen. Those will go up under SmartBoard presentations. So there are the ones from last semester. I am recording the class that will go up under audio lectures. There they are, eventually, from last semester. If something goes wrong with the technology, etc., I keep up past semesters, so I can tell you, go look at that particular topic under last semester, because, you know, something went wrong and I don't have the information. So I keep it up for previous semesters. So if you're not here, you should definitely look at the audio and watch the SmartBoard presentation. I keep them separately because the SmartBoard is kind of notes that I put here, and people like to use those lots of times in doing homework. If they were tied to the audio, then you'd have to go through the entire thing. So I keep them separate. The downside of that is if you listen to the audio and look at the SmartBoard, you kind of have to figure out when I change screens and come up with the next SmartBoard. So it's a little iffy there. Let's see. The syllabus, the big thing is grading. And the grading is 80% of your work is homework problems, code, quizzes. 10% is basically being responsible, getting work in on time, all of that kind of good stuff, doing quality work. And 10% is your final. The final is a take-home final, okay, that you have a week to do. So it is a take-home final. Now, I do not correct homework, or grade homework, I should say. I do not grade homework until it's good. Okay? So if you pass in homework to me that is incorrect, I'm not going to grade it. I will give you notes and comments and send it back to you and ask you to fix and resubmit. My thinking is that you are going into this field. You need to know this stuff. Okay? And therefore, I want you to learn it and I want you to understand it. So if the homework doesn't show that you've learned it and understood it, I'm going to send it back to you and ask you to work on it until you do understand it, because you need to understand it. Eric, who's sitting over there, is available for student groups. You can set up a student study group and come in when Eric's here. He's available to help people that are having problems. If you have problems with the homework assignment, he will help it. We have not got his schedule worked out yet, but traditionally he's been here at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Does that still work, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's a bad time, if a lot of you want to send me an email saying when a good time would be, then we can maybe make some switches to that. But he's in here, so if you're setting up a study group, it would be a nice place to do the study group, because then if you have a question, you've got an easy resource to answer that question. And also, if you have problems with a homework assignment, then it gives you somebody that you can go to. Okay, and Eric's been doing this for, what, a year and a half now? So he knows all the answers. Okay. I'm trying to think of what else I want to say. This course, about half of you will not pass. Not because the course is hard. It's not. It's because you don't do the work. Okay? So approximately half of you will not pass the course because you haven't done the work. That's a warning. Keep up with the work. You will not find it terribly hard. You have the resources of Eric and of me. Keep up and you will do fine. Okay? But, and that is the reason that people do not pass, is that they don't keep up with the work. I give a lot of homework. I have high expectations. And if you don't meet those expectations, then you don't pass the course. So just a warning. try to get the work in on time. I do accept late work, but you do lose points in the responsibility category. I accept late work, but if you keep passing in late work should be passed in because a particular week you ran into problems. It shouldn't be done on a regular basis. And if things are traditionally late on a regular basis, that's usually the reason people don't pass the course. So, fair warning. I love correcting homework, so get me the homework on time so that I can correct it, okay? And try to do a good job of it, because if you don't, I am going to send it back. It's important that you understand the concepts that we're going over. Okay. I think I've told you everything. I think I've threatened you. What else? Anybody got any questions? Ah, come on. I wasn't that clear. There's got to be questions. And the one you're thinking of and not asking is the one five other people are thinking of. So ask it. Thank you.
How many different languages are we going to touch on?
Two, JavaScript and Visual Basic. If you consider HTML a language, which it really isn't, then yes, HTML too. It's a hypertext markup language, so. Anybody else? Questions? Okay. Then we are going to start learning HTML. So, we're going to go to this list of handouts. These are the pages you need to go over, and we're going to start with the first one. So, I'm clicking on HTML5 Intro, and that is my HTML page. If I say View, I'm in Firefox. You can be wherever you want to be. A lot of people like Chrome. I prefer Firefox. So I'm in Firefox. When I right-click on Firefox, it says View Page Source. If you're in a different browser, it may say something slightly different. But what you're looking for there is to see the page source. The page source is the code. So when I click on View Page Source and click on that, it brings up the source code for the page. Okay? So the source code for the page. The first line says the less than symbol, then an explanation, doctype.html. That tells the browser that you are using the most current version of HTML, which is HTML5. If you don't put that line in, it will default to a version of HTML that's probably a little older. So that line is not critically important, but people tend to use it. So you put that as the top line. Then the rest of the code, notice everything is enclosed in the less than and greater than signs. So all of the commands are enclosed in the less than and greater than signs. Okay? So I'm going to take this code. And put it in Notepad or Notepad++, just because it shows up a little bit better. Okay, Notepad++. View Zoom. Actually, I can do it this way, can't I? No, I can't. Somebody want to tell me how to Zoom? I haven't. Okay, somebody tell me what I'm doing. I was trying to get that bigger.
If you hold control and press plus, it works.
What is it?
Control and plus. Is that working?
Yeah, I thought I'd actually... Has anybody successfully made it bigger?
You can highlight the whole text and then just change the size of it.
Okay. Edit. I've got it highlighted. Zoom in is wheel up. There we go, zooming in. There we go. I forgot how to do that. I don't do that much during the summer. Okay. So, these are the commands. HTML tells it that it's now in HTML. To close HTML, notice it has a slash in front of the HTML. So opening HTML is just HTML between the less than and greater sign, and closing HTML has a slash in front of it. Now, HTML is made up of two areas, the head and the body, okay? So within the HTML, I have the head tag, and then I have the title. And the title is the thing that is put up at the top of the page. So we'll go back and look at that in a minute. It is put up in the top of the page. You can see it right up there on my original page. Okay? There's the top of the page. And so I have the tag title. I wrote the word introduction. And then I close title. Now notice this one I put all on one line. I could have used three lines. I could have put title, then introduction on the next line, then close title on the next line. I could have, if I wanted to, had head and then put title and then close title and close head. It lets me do a lot of variations on that. But this is basically the code that I need to write the page. Within body, and this is the things that show up on the page, is the body. Okay, so there's the page, and that's what shows up, is the body. Okay? And within the body, I have a paragraph that is called, this is an introduction, HTML. Wait a minute, I should have brought it up in Notepad. This is an introduction to HTML. This is called a paragraph, and it has a P tag, and it has the close P tag. Now, a paragraph, if I had written something else, leaves a line after the paragraph and before the start of another paragraph, and you'll see that as we go along. An alternate to the paragraph is a div. So instead of writing a P, I can write D-I-V. And that does the same thing, except it doesn't leave a blank line between divisions. Div stands for division. So a P leaves a blank line between paragraphs. A div does not. Okay. So that's my first page. And I write this page. And then I can go to the browser, and I can open the page, and there is the page sitting up there. The next example is making a list. Okay, so notice what I've got here. I've got a list going on. And I am going to do a view page source on that. View page source. And I'm going to take this code and put it into Notepad. So here is the code, and here is the page that it generated. So I have the same title, and again, the word introduction right up there is the title. That's the title. The first line says the doc type, and I didn't have that showing. The first page says the doc type. And then I go to the head and I put up the title. And then I go to the body and I put up the beginning of a paragraph. After the first line, I've got these two BRs. BR stands for break. And so it means go down to the next line. A BR means go down to the next line. So it writes, this is an introduction to HTML, and then one BR moves it down one line, and the second BR moves it down the next line. Then on the next line, it writes, now I'm going to, and puts that information out. Okay? So this is an introduction to HTML appeared on one line. And then I had two VRs, so I skipped down to this line and wrote the rest of the paragraph. Okay? So here is my code. And I wrote part of the paragraph, BR, skipping down twice, and then I wrote the next line of the paragraph. Now I wanted to make a list. OL stands for ordered list. Okay? And an ordered list is 1, 2, 3. Later on, I use a UL, which is an unordered list, and it does the little dots. So an ordered list is 1, 2, 3. And an unordered list is the little dots. Okay? So I have those dots and the lines inside the OL are called list items. So OL stands for ordered list. UL stands for unordered list. LI is a tag that stands for list item. So that's an item within the list. And so I have LI, LI, LI for the three list items. And if the list items are within an ordered list, then I see 1, 2, 3. And if the list items are in an unordered list, I see the dots in front of them. Notice everything gets closed. So the OL has a close OL, the UL has a close UL, and the LI has a close LI. So everything has an open and a close tag. Okay. Question. Yeah.
So when I use Notepad++ and I'm coding or writing anything in HTML, as I'm progressing, I would like to like check on the page
right.
and have it run. But
yep.
when I run it, it only shows the code and not
right.
rendering it. Yeah,
coming up. Stay tuned.
All right.
Okay. So I now have looked at the code. Now, if I want to write one on my own, I would go in here and start writing. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just save this that I wrote and pretend that I wrote it. So I'm going to do a file save as, and I am going to put this on my E drive. So I'm going to put it on my E drive, and I'm going to call it first HTML first dot HTML, and I'm changing the type to HTML. Hypertext markup language. So hypertext markup language, I'm changing the type to that. If you use regular notepad, you just go in and change the type and put in the HTML. So I've now saved it as first.html, okay? So I'm saving it, and let me take a picture of this. And okay, why doesn't it want me to take a picture of this? It's made my picture thing go away. So I've got to bring it back. So I've saved it as first.html. Now I'm going to go to my browser, and I am going to bring up first.html. Okay, and I put it on the F drive, so it's F:first.html. Well, wait a minute. Okay. Another little problem that I have. I want to file open. Option. No. Does anybody know how to do an open here, Eric?
Control O.
Control O. I have things set up at home that I would definitely suggest you do so that I do not have to remember that it is a Control O. F drive I saved it on, right? There it is. No, I guess I didn't save it. Okay. I never finished clicking the save. So I'm saving it on my E drive, and now I'm coming over here, and I'm doing a Control O, and I am going to my E drive, and it is there. So it actually worked. So let's try that one more time with my remembering how to do it. I wrote it in Notepad on Notepad++. I did a file save as, and I picked my E drive, okay? So I picked the E drive. If you have a flash drive, put it in and pick that drive, okay? If not, you can put it anywhere on the C drive and it'll be gone once it reboots, but you can put it anywhere you want. I would bring a flash drive to this class, okay? So I put it on the E drive, and it is there. And then I can do the save, which I already did, so I saved it on the E drive. Now I come over here, and in my computer at home, I have the nice little line that I click on File Open, and I don't have a problem. And I forget what I have to click on. But if I click on Control O, it will let me pick and bring this up. Click on it, and it opens it. Okay? And if I want to see the code, I do View Page Source, and there is the code behind it. Okay? So Control O is the magic thing to remember. Okay, now I want you to actually write a page similar to what I did in this page here. So bring up Notepad or Notepad++, your choice, and write some code that is similar to this. Save it. And then bring it up in a browser so that you can see it. Okay, so that's what I want you to do. And Eric is here to help. Now that I remember Control O, I'm here to help as well. I'm doubtful, Eric, whether you're helping them or me the first day.
Your settings reset every time you go home.
Huh?
Your settings reset.
Yes, but I'm going to ask them to fix and make it better. We can do that. Yeah, because at home I keep it so that I don't have to remember Control O. So go in, make your own. If you want to copy and paste mine, that's fine, but make some changes to it. Probably better if you actually make your own. Save it and then bring it up. Somebody should have a question. Eric is getting bored. If you're having a question with this, please ask him or ask me. Okay, this has never happened before. Thank you.
I'll be awesome. I'm a little lost in the yard, but a
little sad. Okay. There are other people too, but there's not. You go over and work with her. You're going to start out in Notepad. So you're going to start out and you're going to just say, okay, here I am, and you're going to start writing it. Okay, so you're going to write it. Then when you finish, you're going to do a file save as. And again, if you have a flash drive, save it there. If not, you can just save it in Documents. Okay, the problem is it won't be there tomorrow if the computer gets turned off. Okay? And then once you've got it saved, then you go to any browser. I'm using Firefox, and you open it in the browser. When you save it with a .html extension, because the extension tells the browser that this is HTML. Okay, that's what the dot HTML is there for, is to tell the browser to HTML.
Yeah,
also.
HTML extension, do you literally just put it on the boundary or do you use the rest
of it? I just click on this. I do all files.
Oh, okay.
If you're in Notepad as opposed to Notepad Plus Plus, I choose all files. I type the name and then underneath it asks for the type and I type all files. And that works fine. I don't leave it as text. It should be a paragraph, or it could be a paragraph, because it actually looks just right without making it anything. It lets you do that. It is probably considered better to do a paragraph or a division, but it will accept
Okay.
And then go into a browser and open the browser. And you need to have a control O to open the browser. So just turn up the browser and have a control O. And then hit it.
Once you change that, you see all this change. So now, you know, it's supposed to be like hints, you might say. So now you can get it. There's multiple ways.
Essentially,
that's how you can do it. Okay? Does that answer the question?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You can get it back if you want.
Yes,
and
yes. Save it to. Actually, yeah, you can save it to your end drive if you wanted to. That would probably be. Yeah, saving it to your end drive would probably be a good idea. It shouldn't have got text right, so yeah, go back to Notepad. And let's do another file save. And give it a different name. Yeah, just so we make sure. So my first or something like that. No embedded blaze faces. Best not to use. .html, no, it has to be a .html, and then change that to all files and save. And then come over there.
Okay. Just make sure you save it
before you want to run it. Ta-da. Okay. I should have mentioned and did not that you can get away with this line that I put in here that is not inside a PPEG and not inside a DIVPEG. It's not considered the best thing to do, but in fact, I can just write a line and it will show up and then put a BR after it, which means skip down to the next line. It is preferred professionally to have the P and the DIVPEG. But you can get away with that. How you doing? Has everybody seen a page? Yeah.
I have a question. I'm sort of lost between encoding, but is there like a command you can put in the code where you can put notes for yourself where it doesn't actually do the code itself?
Yes, there is. You remember it?
In HTML, it's a little complicated. Usually, in like it's usually backslash.
Right.
It's like less than symbol, exclamation point, hyphen.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, get a cold one.
There is one thing that would be lovely if it was universal from language to language, and that is how they have a note. But it isn't. So if you go in and do a search on note HTML. Comment tag, that's what I should have looked up. Comment tag, that's the comment tag in HTML. So that's the comment tag, and if you put this, and then you can put your comment in there, and then close it with that, and that's the comment tag. Okay? And ask me tomorrow, and I still won't remember.
In CSS,
okay, but that's how you do the comment tag. This is an excellent, excellent site if you have questions about HTML. W3schools.com. And I would take that down because it's a good reference site if you're having problems and want to figure out how to do something. It's an excellent reference site. And they have this neat try it yourself, which means that you can go in and experiment with what it is that they're covering. And it really is very helpful. So I would definitely recommend W3 Schools if you run into any problems. But
in CSS, it's backslash go.
Is it?
Is that ruining everything?
Yes. Yes. I'm actually going to skip the link page for a minute and go on to something else, and we'll do the link page on Thursday, because looking at the time, I would like to do a few other things. So on this one, I've added color to my operation, and I've got my two lists, and I've also added some size and that kind of thing. So, if I do a view page source on this, I am now getting into CSS. And that reminds me that I should have mentioned before. You know the CSS class that everybody is supposed to take? The CSS class, CSS 101 or something like that, that everybody is supposed to take? Somebody nod their head and ask, because I know what I'm talking about here. All right. That class is actually embedded here. So if you're taking CIS 120, you do not have to take the CSS class. It's embedded in this course, so you don't have to take it. Okay? So if you have any questions, see me afterward. We are now talking about a different kind of CSS, which is what made me think of it. We are now talking about cascading style sheets. Cascading style sheets is a way of adding color to your website. Okay? So notice what I did. And it also allows me to space things and make them bigger and all kinds of things like that. So inside the head, I added a tag called style. And I told it that the style was of the type text CSS. So I wrote that in there. Then I said, okay, now, the body of the program, okay, everything was inside the body. I want the default color to be red. Okay, so everything inside the body, I want to set up with a default color of red. Now notice how I do that. I have a curly brace, I have the word body, then I have a curly brace, then I put in a keyword that is understood by the browser, and that word is color. And the word color stands for the color of the text. So color means color of the text. Okay, and we'll see how to do background color later on. But for now, color is that. So I put a color, and then I put a colon, and then I pick a color. And I'm picking the color red. We used to have to write codes for color if there were something other than red, orange, yellow, green, blue. Somebody had time on their hands, and they went in and they came up with a name for just about every color. So you've got midnight blue, sky blue, da da da. There is now a name for most everything. And actually, if you go to W3 schools, you can find all of the names. I still stick with the basics. So my background, my foreground or text color is red. Then I said, all right, any paragraph I set up, I want to use the keyword text align. And that again is a CSS word that the browser understands, and it says how I want to align the text. And I said I want it to be centered. So that means all paragraph will be centered. And then I said all paragraphs, I also want to use the keyword font size, which means set the size of the font. And 2EM means double whatever it is. Double the default. So take the default size and double it. LI means whenever I see the LI tag, I want the text in the LI tag to be green. So red's the default, but for LIs, I want it to be green. So I'm changing that to green. Okay? And then I put in the page that I had before. And the paragraph is aligned to the center, and it's double size. The LIs are green. And the paragraph takes the default color of red. So if you look back over here, the paragraph has the default color of red. It's twice the size, and it is centered. The LIs have a default color of green. Okay. Again, if you want to know CSS commands, W3 Schools is a great place to go for it. But those are the things that I wrote. Then I close the style and close the head. So, now I want you to go back and add some color to the page that you've just done, or align something to the center, or do something so that you add some CSS. Experiment with it and add some CSS. And again, Eric is available. Thank you. Oh, good. I just closed myself up. Wonderful. Okay, so there's the style that I added.
So go in and try adding style to yours. Doesn't have to be the same as mine. You can change it, make it different colors,
whatever you want to do, but try adding some style to it.
And again, remember, it has to be enclosed in a style bag, which are inside the head.
So this is how web pages are created. Questions? Is everybody getting some color? So you could change the LI font size also, you can center the, whatever you want to do, you can play around with it, you can make the colors other colors. Again, notice that whatever you want is inside curly braces. After the keyword is a colon and at the end is a semicolon. So it's a very kind of structured way that you're presenting it. And the browsers are all capable of reading this, and they're all capable of understanding it and putting it up correctly. Or the current browsers are. How are you doing on this? Most people got something or not? You can keep adding things to it, so I'm kind of waiting for clicking stops. But if you're done, make it better. Add some more things. Go look something up. go look up how to do background color. Go look about and change your background color or something like that.
When I put my background on, before I color.
Okay, background color.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't got the images yet.
Oh,
but you can go look it up. But if you want a background color, well, we haven't got the images yet, so why don't you wait for Thursday morning?
You mean like color have to be background style?
Yes. If you are assigning a particular background
color.
Well, background color would be inside body.
Okay.
And then you can say background hyphen color is what it is. And that can be within body images. I don't think we'll get to today. We'll get to it on Thursday. Yeah. Say that again? Okay. That's a text file, not an HTML file. So when you save your code, put in the name .html and change that to all files. Okay, now try over. Okay. Those are hard to read, but they are there. Okay. If you made the background, you know, a dark color, then you'd be able to read it better. Background hyphen color is the background color. It allows you to change background color. Trying to find the one where I've got. On any of these, if you want to do a search, you can just do a CSS background color, and you can see it comes right up. CSS background color, and then go to W3 Schools. And that's how you can set a background color. Okay? So background color is background hyphen color. And if I put that in at the body, then I'm going to get a background color on my page. And actually, those show the three ways to do it. Background color can be done with a word, or it can be done with codes, and there's two different approaches to the codes. Tells the amount of red, the amount of yellow, green, blue, whatever. Red, green, blue is what it is. So it tells the amount of red, the amount of green, the amount of blue, amount of red, green, and blue. But you can stick with the colors. And you can see if you click on the click a color, it brings up a whole lot of different colors and gives you the codes as well. Background color, let's see if we put in background color names or color names. CSS color names. Color names list, that seems reasonable. Yes, so here is a name of the names of the colors. So, this particular color is blue, this is blue-violet,
This is burly wood. This is cadet blue. This is shut. And it goes on and on and on. So you can name a load of these colors. And I looked up CSS color names list, and that gave me this list. Okay, so if you want to do colors, you can do it that way. Okay, this one shows you how to do headers. And I didn't happen to do this in color, but you can do it in color. This shows headers. And notice there are, I've got header 1, header 2, header 3, and notice that they keep getting smaller. So if I do a view page source, I can make a header in H1, and that's the biggest. H2 is a little smaller. H3 is a little smaller. H4, H5, H6, they get progressively smaller. So I can put a bunch of headers on my page and make them as well. So try throwing a header on your page, a couple of headers on your page. Just keep adding things to it. And by the end of this, it should make absolutely no sense whatsoever, but that's fine. You've tried a bunch of different things. So go and put in the headers, and they are in the H1, H2, down through H6 tags. And if you want them to be different colors, back in the style, you can make H1 have one color, H2 have another color, H3 have another color, and so forth. So you can change the colors back. Okay, on this one, which is the one below it, it still is on headers. I added the things. So I gave my body a background color of beige, a font color of brown. I said my H1s will be red and aligned in the center. My H2 will be blue and aligned to the right. My H3 will be green and aligned to the center. And I left my 4, 5, and 6 as the default of color brown and no alignment. So this gets me some color and some alignment with my headers. So try adding that on as well. Thank you.
And my audit list, one of my lists, I said, change everything in the UL to red. So before I did change of the LI color, here I said I want everything in the UL to be red. So the unaudited list is entirely red. That's two ways of basically accomplishing the same thing. I can change the LIs to a color, or I can say I want the whole UL to change. That's as far as we're going to go today, and then we'll pick up with some linking to the second page, some images next time. But what I would do is I would suggest that if you're not comfortable with it, you play with it some between now and Thursday, so that you make a page and you try all these different things that I've showed you, and experiment with it before Thursday. Because Thursday will make a lot more sense if you're comfortable with what we did on Tuesday. We're not quite done. Okay. So, I am done. Questions, anyone? So use my examples, make sure that you're comfortable with doing the things I did in the examples up through the headers. And then I skipped link page, we'll go back to that. And I have not done images or tables, so we'll do all of that. But I did intro, list, CSS list, headers, and CSS headers. So make sure you're comfortable with those. Okay, I'm really done.